This is a reading of the first chapter of my book, Until the Last Penny. You can get your copy of Until the Last Penny in paperback or ebook on Amazon. The link is in the description. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, you can do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. However, the best way you can support this channel right now is to purchase the book. The ebook is $3.99, that's less than a coffee, and the paperback is $9.99, about the price of two coffees. Every purchase helps the Amazon algorithm get it in front of other Catholics who are searching this topic. You don't have to read it right away, just having it helps. But I really hope you do, because I wrote it for you. And if you have read it, or even part of it, I would be so grateful if you went to Amazon and left an honest review. It doesn't have to be long, just what you thought. Reviews help other Catholics find the book, and that's what this is really all about. And if you are on the fence about purchasing the book, hopefully this free reading of Chapter 1 will pique your interest. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. Until the Last Penny, Chapter 1, The Life and Death of Paul Ranzini. Polly, don't do this. We've always been friends. You can talk to the boss. He'll listen to you. Tell him I'll be loyal. Paul looked at his friend Mikey cowering in the corner, pleading for his life. He felt regret, deep, crushing regret, for what he knew he had to do. He pushed back the disbelief and put on the stone-cold exterior he had perfected over the years. Paul had always been an earner, not muscle. He knew how to make money, not just how to break bones, though he'd killed when necessary. When a hit came down, they didn't give it to Paul or his crew. They gave it to one of the grunts, the guys who are tough but not smart. They had to do something to earn their pay. Paul thought blood was bad for business, and he'd been somewhat insulated from the cruelty of being in the mafia. That is, until the Romano Civil War. The boss died in a car accident without naming a successor, and two factions rose. Paul and his crew picked the right side. Now he had to show his loyalty by killing his best friend huddled in the corner who hadn't. "Boss doesn't think so," said Tommy Toes, Paul's right-hand man. Paul caught a reprieve from the guilt and sadness he carried over Mikey. His thoughts drifted instead to Tommy. The nickname came from childhood ballet lessons, though Tommy told people it was because he cut off toes if they didn't pay. "Yeah, boss wants to tie up loose ends," said Rocco. "Let me do the honors, Cap." Paul was annoyed at Rocco's enthusiasm. As an associate, Rocco wasn't a made man like Paul, Tommy, and Mikey were. He was more like a pledge, eager to make his bones and become an official member of the Romano family. But not now. Not with Mikey. Rocco didn't know the history Paul and Mikey had. Paul raised his hands, silencing the others. "Look, Mikey," his voice was quieter now, "you know I don't want to do this. You and I go way back." "Yeah, way back, Polly," Mikey's voice broke. "We made our bones together. We were like brothers." Paul pulled up a chair and sat backward, the chair back pressed against his chest. He dragged another chair over and motioned to Mikey. "Come, sit." Mikey got up, walked over, and sat in the chair in front of his lifelong friend. Paul made eye contact with Tommy, a signal they had prearranged for Tommy to slowly move behind Mikey without him noticing. "You want a drink?" Paul said. "Might take the edge off." "Yeah, that'd be great." Paul leaned over and patted Mikey on the back. "Good." He got up, turned around, and walked towards the kitchen as if to make a drink. As Paul turned away, Tommy pulled out a pistol and pressed it against the back of Mikey's head. The shot was louder than Paul expected. Mikey fell to the floor, his body convulsing once, twice, then going still. With his back still turned, Paul pressed his fist into his mouth and bit down hard, holding back the anguish that wanted to escape. Mikey had been the only real friend he'd ever had. The Civil War had taken its toll. Paul had never thought it would come to this. Money laundering, gambling, and loan sharking? Those were one thing. You had to rough people up sometimes when they didn't pay, break a finger, maybe an arm. You'd be surprised how resourceful men who don't have any money became after you broke a finger. Killing was different. It was rare. It was bad for business. The past year had changed everything. Constantly looking over his shoulder, men who were supposed to be on the same side were killing each other in ways Paul couldn't imagine. But now it was over. Thank God it was over. Standing there, with Mikey dead behind him, Paul realized something. He wanted out. But you don't just walk away from the mafia. Years ago, as Uncle Sal had wanted out, the same uncle who brought Paul into the life, Paul had learned then what getting out really meant. The only way out was in a body bag, and Paul had proven his loyalty then, too. Will it ever really end, he thought, proving my loyalty? He felt the buzz of his phone in his jacket pocket. He pulled it out and checked the screen. Father Ranzini. It was his older brother, Anthony. Tommy, you know what to do. I gotta take this. He went into the other room and put the call on speaker. You better come to Ma's, Polly. She's not doing too well. Anthony's voice came through. I'm kind of in the middle of something, Anthony. Anthony raised his voice in frustration. I just gave her last rites. If you want to see your mother before she dies, get over here now. His voice hardened. Don't be a strunz this time. Paul stood there for a moment, the words settling on him. Why shouldn't he go? The Romano family had taken enough from him. He wasn't going to let them take this, too. I'll be there, he said, ending the call. He went back into the kitchen. Hey, Tommy, I'm going to need you to take care of this. My mother's not doing so good. Anthony said it could be any time. Sure thing, Pauly, Tommy replied. You got to do what you got to do. Paul opened the car door and slid into the seat, slamming the door harder than usual. The sound echoed through the car. He sat for a moment with his hands resting on the steering wheel, staring through the windshield, not really looking at anything. Mikey's face flashed through his mind, not as he was lying on the floor lifeless and still, but as he was when they were growing up, the two of them outside his mother's house, smoking cigarettes they had stolen from her purse, hoping they wouldn't get caught. Then his thoughts drifted to Uncle Sal. He'd never had kids of his own. He had always told Paul he thought of him as a son, and Paul was closer to him than he was his own father. First Uncle Sal, now Mikey, Paul muttered. They've taken too much from me. He turned the key and the engine roared. As he pulled out into the street, he made sure not to speed. The last thing I need is for a cop to pull me over. He thought of Anthony, his brother, the priest, the good child. Why can't you be more like your brother, his father used to say. He remembered when Anthony entered the seminary. At least one of us will stay out of trouble, he told him. Paul laughed. The traffic thinned as he pulled into the old neighborhood. The same chain-link fence, the same cracks in the sidewalk, along with a few new ones. But nothing had really changed. He pulled onto his mother's street, and slowly the small brick house he grew up in came into view. The porch light was on, and Anthony's car was in the driveway. He pulled in alongside it, put the car in park, and cut the engine. He sat there for a moment with his hands on the wheel. After this, I'll figure things out. Paul opened the door, went up the porch, and into the house. The decor was still the same, straight out of the 1980s. Pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary hung side by side on the wall, facing the entrance. Images stained with 40 years of cigarette smoke. Paul's heart stuttered when he stepped into his mother's room. Votive candles flickered everywhere. Pictures of saints lined the walls. Ave Maria played softly from the Bluetooth speaker he'd given her last Christmas. I see you finally figured out how to use that thing, Ma, Paul said, forcing lightness into his voice. Anthony was sitting on the bed holding their mother's hand. He got up, looked at Paul, and said, I'll leave you two alone. He walked out, closing the door behind him. Paul sat on the bed and looked at his mother. She was frail. Her skin was gray and papery, her hair wiry, and her eyes sunken deep into her skull. Has it really been that long? 4 months since the diagnosis. 4 months since I'd seen her. He felt ashamed for a moment, but then he reminded himself that he paid all her bills. That had to mean something. Yes, he paid the bills, and Anthony did the work. That's just how it was. She had a roof over her head. The doctor's bills were paid. Nothing to be ashamed of. How you doing, Ma? He said. Not so good. Look, Ma, I'm sorry. His mother interrupted him. Shh. Let me say my piece, Polly. I know what you do, her voice cracked. I'm grateful for all you do for me, but I'm afraid for your soul. Tears rolled down her hollow cheeks. Please, Polly, please make a good confession to your brother. What? Paul jerked back. I'm afraid you're going to hell because of what you do. It's bothered me for a long time, but I never said anything. She gripped his hand weakly. But I can't go to my judgment without saying something. Shock turned to pity. He didn't want his mother to worry about him. Don't worry, Ma. I'll talk to Anthony, he said. Promise your dying mother that you'll confess all your sins to your brother tonight. I want to die knowing you've been forgiven. Paul sat for a moment, his mother's words echoing in his mind. Forgiveness. Is that even possible for me? Sure, Ma, I promise. Now you get some rest. He kissed his mother on the forehead and left the room, closing the door behind him. Did you put her up to this? Paul said to Anthony the moment the door closed. What are you talking about? Anthony acted like he didn't know. Ma said she wants me to confess all my sins to you. It's her dying wish. Oh, that. Anthony gestured toward the couch. You want to talk about it? Oh, no, Paul said. I'm not telling you all my secrets. You'll probably rat me out. Look, even if I wanted to, I couldn't. Confession isn't admissible in court. And if I revealed anything you said, I'd be kicked out of the priesthood. But worse than that, it would be a mortal sin. Anthony's expression softened. I'm not going to hell for your sorry behind. Besides, you're not talking to me. You're talking to Jesus. Oh, that's way worse, Paul said, chuckling nervously. Look, it's just two brothers having a conversation. You can have it both ways. Just say what you want, and if you happen to say something that could get you into trouble with the law, it's protected under the seal of confession. So come on. Are you really not going to fulfill your dying mother's wish? Okay, but we're just talking. Having a conversation. They sat down on the couch. Anthony pulled his stole from his bag and placed it around his neck. May God, who has enlightened every heart, help you to know your sins, trust in his mercy, and make a good confession. Anthony nudged Paul. What? Paul said. Say it. Say what? Oh, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been God knows how long since my last confession. They both laughed. The sound died quickly, and an uncomfortable silence took its place. Paul broke eye contact, scanning the room for something, anything else to focus on. His eyes landed on a framed family portrait. The four of them stood shoulder to shoulder, his father, his mother, Anthony, and Paul. He studied his father's image for a moment, the tilted head, the crooked fedora. The man thought he was Frank Sinatra or something, but he was just a drunk, a miserable two-timing drunk. Uncle Sal was more of a father than he ever was. His eyes moved to Lucille in the photo, their little sister, who stood in front, smiling widely, her hair pulled back the way she always wore it. Paul's gaze drifted to another frame beside it, her school picture, sophomore year, the last photograph ever taken of her. That's as good a place to start as any. He looked at Anthony and his resolve faded. No, he'd never forgive me if he knew. I don't care what he says. It's him I'm talking to, not Jesus. If Anthony knew the truth, he'd never look at me the same way again. Anthony followed his eyes. I miss her too, he said quietly. I know you always blamed yourself for what happened. If you want to talk about it, no, Paul said. I don't. Anthony waited. The silence stretched. It's my fault she's dead, Paul's voice was flat. That's all you need to know. Forget about it. Polly, Anthony said gently, you didn't force the pills down her throat. It's normal for families to feel responsible when someone they love commits suicide. Paul's jaw tightened, tears welled in his eyes. I said forget about it, Anthony. The room went still. Anthony nodded once. Okay. He folded his hands in his lap, crossed his legs, and leaned back. Then what do you want to talk about? What do you want me to say? Paul looked at Anthony intently. You know what I do, so let's stop pretending. You can say whatever you want. Anthony replied calmly, we're just talking. Paul let out a bitter laugh. What? What do you want me to say? I've killed people? Anthony remained quiet. Well, I have. Paul's eyes widened. I've killed people, slept with other men's wives, prostitutes, random girls. I've gambled. I haven't been to Mass in years, taken the Lord's name in vain. His voice cracked. I've broken every commandment, more than once, too many times to count. Tears spilled down his cheeks. He leaned forward and buried his face in his hands. I haven't seen Ma in months. Anthony reached for the tissue box and held it out. Here. Thanks. Paul took a tissue and wiped his face. I didn't know she was this bad. The cancer's aggressive, Anthony said gently. After a long pause, he continued. But the real question is, do you regret it? Any of it? Paul sat silently for a moment. A year ago, this conversation would have been impossible. No one could have forced it out of him, but something changed with Mikey's death. The life he'd chosen no longer looked the same. Yeah, Paul said quietly. I regret it. All of it. If I could do it over, I would have done things differently. We can't change the past, Anthony said softly. Everyone has regrets. After a silence, Anthony continued, Do you fear judgment? Paul let out a bitter laugh. You mean, do I want to go to hell? Of course not. Look, I'm done with this, okay? Anthony sat up straight and leaned in. It's enough. For your penance, say one Hail Mary. Now make an act of contrition. I don't remember it. Just tell God you're sorry. Paul hesitated. Sorry, God. Anthony reached into his bag and handed him a folded slip of paper. Read this. Paul mouthed the words silently. Out loud, Anthony said sharply. Paul swallowed and read. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended you. I detest all of my sins, because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they offend you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to do penance and sin no more. Anthony held out his hand above Paul's head. God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins. Making the sign of the cross, Anthony continued, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good, Anthony said. Now say the Hail Mary. What? I want to make sure you do your penance. Paul closed his eyes, searching his memory. Hail Mary, full of grace. He paused. The Lord is with thee, Anthony said, gently coaxing him. The Lord is with thee, Paul repeated. Anthony reached into his bag again, pulled out a printed prayer, and handed it to him. Just read it. Paul started over, reading the paper aloud. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Good. Hey, can you stick around for a bit? Anthony asked. I need to close up the church and put out a few fires, couple hours tops. I don't want Ma to be alone, you know, just in case. Yeah, sure, Anthony. Call if anything changes. And with that, Anthony left. Paul stayed seated on the couch, the earlier events still churning through his mind. He went over the past year, trying to make sense of it. Tony Romano, head of the Romano family, had died in a car crash. Not a hit, not a jealous husband, just a stupid car crash. And that single event had turned Paul's life upside down. Two factions backstabbing, and it had all ended with Mikey. He'd been the last holdout. I need some air, he said quietly to himself. He got up and checked his mother's room. She was fast asleep. She'll be fine for 20 minutes while I walk around the block. Paul stepped out of the house and pulled the door shut behind him. The porch boards creaked under his weight as he moved down the steps and headed down the sidewalk. He shoved his hands deep into his coat pockets. A streetlight hummed at the curb, its pale glow stretching his shadow across the pavement. He stopped. The night felt off. It was too quiet. Something moved at the edge of his vision, a male figure just behind him. He walked faster and turned the corner quickly, scanning the street, the darkened windows, and the empty road. Nothing. No footsteps, no voices. He shook it off and kept walking. As soon as he turned the corner, hands grabbed him, one on each arm. He lurched, tried to pull free, but they were already dragging him back. A burlap sack dropped over his head, the coarse fabric scraping his face and burning his eyes. Hey! He shouted, but the sound died inside the cloth. His shoes scraped along the pavement, then skidded over loose gravel as panic surged in his chest. One of them leaned close, his voice muffled and calm. The boss wants to tie up loose ends, Polly. They stopped. Then he felt it, cold, hard steel pressed against the base of his skull. He heard a bang. Something warm ran down his neck. The ringing in his ears faded into silence, then nothing. If you would like to find out what happened to Paul after his death, Until the Last Penny is available now on Amazon. The link is in the description.